Well, friends, we come for a little time this evening to a verse we will find in the psalm that we read together. The book of Psalms, Psalm 72, and we may read again at verse 16. Psalm 72 at verse 16. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. This is one of the greatest of the messianic psalms. This psalm is full of Christ. He is the king who is represented here as the one who shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the end of the earth. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now this psalm was written by King Solomon. Spurgeon suggests that the spirit and the matter of the psalm are David, but that he was too near his end to be able to write the words, and therefore Solomon caught his dying father's song and fashioned it into verse, and without robbing his father, he made the psalm his own. It is therefore the prayer of David, but the psalm of Solomon. And beyond all shadow of a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great subject of this psalm in the glory of his millennial reign, in his present state of exaltation, and as he will be revealed at the end of time. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Now as we meditate on these words tonight, we would like to notice that we have here, first of all, an insignificant beginning. An insignificant beginning. Now this word from the Lord assures us that from small beginnings, great results may spring. A handful of corn, a mere handful of corn, shall yield an abundant harvest. Sometimes I think that as Christians, we are too pessimistic, that we are given much to decry the state of the time and to bewail the spirit, the lack of spiritual life in the land. And we're in danger of forgetting to be thankful. To be thankful for the blessings that we have and for the privileges that we enjoy. I must say that in my recent travels throughout the church, one of the things that has heartened me most of all is to see so many young people interested in the things of God. To see that genuine interest. We see it in all parts. I was in Stornoway recently, and the church was thronged with young people. Young people who were earnest in their Bible study, who were seeking diligently to follow the Lord and to be witnesses to their own contemporaries, to go out into the community to bring the message of the gospel. We see it in other places. And I think here too you have reason to be thankful for the number of young people who are obviously interested in the things of God. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the tops of the mountains, and the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. And after all, what a blessing it is that there is a handful. You remember the words of Isaiah, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been of Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. But now you see, the faithful are a living seed, and they shall multiply in the land. The church's beginnings were small, the handful of corn in the earth, but the increase shall be the most astonishing. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Remember how our Lord said that the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. An insignificant beginning, humanly speaking. Our Lord came to Bethlehem as a little babe. He was born in poverty and in squalor. Ah, who would have imagined that this is the Messiah, that this is God's deliverer, that this is the one that the Lord has raised up for the salvation of his redeemed. He was the carpenter of Nazareth, going about his ordinary everyday work. And when he became the preacher of Galilee, his followers in the name were humble fishermen. As the Apostle Paul said, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the weak things and the things which are despised and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are. The wise men of the world scoffed at the church from the beginning. Herod and his soldiers mocked him and set him at naught. Unto the wisdom of this world, the gospel is foolishness. The natural man sees no beauty in Christ that he should desire him. He is without form and without comeliness, a root out of a dry ground. The little despised handful of corn. But then too, friends, think of the unlikelihood of success. The unlikelihood of success. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain. Now the tops of the mountain surely is the most barren ground imaginable. What hard soil there is there, where the snow is lying all the year round. And you would think of the seed being sown there. How impossible to expect that there will be results, that there will be a harvest. What farmer in his right mind would ever think of sowing the seed there upon the tops of the mountain? How unlikely it is that hard soil will yield a crop. And yet, such is the figure that here represents the spreading of the gospel in the world. In that place where there is such poor soil, there where there is not much depth of earth, on the tops of the mountain, would you not think that the very winds of heaven would blow away that seed, or that it would be washed down by the teeming rain, the handful of corn, the unlikelihood of success? Think of the infant church at the beginning, in a hostile pagan world. Think of the strength of the opposition. There was the hostility of the Jew to the Jew. The cross of Christ was a stumbling block. Think of the prejudice of the Jew against Christ. Or again, look at the Gentiles. Think of the might of the Roman Empire arrayed against the Church of God. Ah, yes, it was hard soil. Snow was lying on the mountain top. It seemed impossible, from a human point of view, impossible that the church would live on. Ah, but when the Holy Spirit was outpoured in power at Pentecost, all the barriers were broken down. They were swept away, and within a comparatively short time, there came a day when the Emperor Constantine declared himself to be a Christian, and Christianity became the recognized religion of the Roman Empire. It was hard soil. Ah, the preacher of the gospel is well aware that he labors in a difficult field, where the soil is hard, where there is much to discourage us, and where the adversary is telling us that our task is in vain, where he is suggesting to us that we might as well give up. What hope have we when there are so many opposed to the gospel, when the forces arrayed against the church are so strong? When we think on the hardness of the human heart, when we think of the sinfulness of man's nature, or there are times when we become discouraged, there are times when, if we take our eyes away from the Lord, we're cast down, we're discouraged and depressed. That handful of corn, doesn't it seem ridiculous? That little handful of corn to be sown in the earth upon the tops of the mountains. And the promise is that the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. The story is related of the great disruption preacher, Dr. Thomas Guthrie, that towards the end of his ministry, the good man was very depressed and discouraged. He did a wonderful ministry, and he was the means of setting up orphanages for thousands of neglected children, and of opening schools for them and providing medical aid, apart from his spiritual triumph as a minister of Christ. But the old man was feeling cast down in his last days, and he was invited to go out to the United States. And one day he was preaching in the city of Boston, and at the close of the morning service, a very fashionably dressed man came into the vestry, and he said, "You'll not know me, Dr. Guthrie." And the minister looked at him and he said, "No, my friend, I'm afraid I can't place you at all." Well, he said, "Do you remember that on a certain cold wintry day in Edinburgh, 40 years ago, you saw a little barefooted boy in ragged clothes at the top of the mound, and you took him by the hand, and you brought him to your church, St. John's Free Church, that we now know as St. Columba." And he said, "There were some ladies there preparing food, and they gave me a plate of soup, and I had a meal. Then I was introduced to the mission Sabbath school. And you know, Dr. Guthrie, it was in that Sabbath school that I found Christ." And he said, "I've been in America for many years, and today I am the managing director of one of the biggest multiple concerns in the United States. And I have seen to it that wherever the firm has a shop, that a Bible class is immediately commenced, and there have been many conversions, and in almost every city in the United States we have witnesses to the gospel of Christ." And Dr. Guthrie's heart was uplifted, and he wrote in his diary that this text came to him with power: "There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth." A little handful of corn, sown in the hard places. Ah, sown perhaps where men would say it was impossible, where they would dissuade us from going with the message of Christ. There in the most unlikely place, there was the great harvest, the great harvest. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. But then, friends, the last thing we see in our text is this: the glorious result. The glorious result. "The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon." Yes, that unlikely field shall yield such an abundance of corn. The ears being thick and high and full of corn, when shaken by the wind, shall make a noise not unlike that that is sometimes made by the tops of the trees of Lebanon when the strong winds blow. Of course, it is figurative language, but it describes the great and the phenomenal success of the preaching of the gospel. "They of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth." The citizens of Jerusalem, they are the subjects of Christ's kingdom, and they shall be so numerous they shall flourish like grass of the earth. You remember the promise that God made to Abraham when he looked up to the stars. If thou canst count the stars of the heaven for multitude, then also shall thy seed be numbered. The triumph of Christ, the glory of the finished work, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful thing. What an encouragement to the church. What a message for us to take to heart. Think of it, this wonderful transformation that the grace of God makes in a sinner's life. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon. It is said that William Carey, the first missionary to India, labored for 7 years without a single conger. And one day a government official met him and he said, "Mr. Carey, what is the future for Christian missions in India?" And William Carey replied, "The future, sir, is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God." And oh, friend, shall we not from this text take encouragement to obey the Great Commission, each one of us in our own place, to go out into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature? Shall we not seek through grace to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, to live holy lives, to walk among men as those who belong to Christ, as those who have been bought with a price, even with the precious blood? Ah, we are meant to express our thankfulness to God for his goodness to us over the communion season. Oh, then let us show our thankfulness by our life. "Open thou my lips," said the psalmist, "and then I will show forth thy praise." Let us give him the glory. Oh, let us not by our unbelief limit the Holy One of Israel. Let us remember that his power is still the same, that the Lord Jesus is upon the throne, that he is working out his purposes of grace. And one day that glorious prophecy shall be fulfilled, that all the mighty kings on earth before him down shall fall, and all the nations of the world do service to him shall. And the psalmist sees communities being transformed. They of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Think on the blades of grass. Who can number them? And you remember that the saintly John tells us in the book of Revelation concerning the multitude of the redeemed in heaven. "After this I beheld a great multitude that no man could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb with palms in their hands. And this was their song: unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, unto him be the glory and the dominion and the power and the honor forever. Unto him." Ah, we were thinking yesterday of the cross, of the price that was paid for our salvation. Ah, let us remember the word of the truth. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall be satisfied with the outcome of his redemptive work when he sees the redeemed brought home, everyone whom he has purchased with his blood. The handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain, the hard places. Ah, but my friend, let me ask you tonight, what about you? Is your heart hard? Is the gospel seed falling upon it? But ah, the ground is so hard that it never enters. Is it wintry with you? Are the snows lying around, hiding the precious seed? Oh, pray that the Lord would soften your heart, that in the day of grace, when Jesus of Nazareth passes by in the gospel, that he would make you receptive to his word. May you of that prayer, Lord, take away the hard and the stony heart, and give me a heart of flesh. Give me a heart that will be receptive to the good seed of the word. And oh, blessed Spirit, cause it to bring forth fruit in my life. Cause it to grow up and to manifest the evidences of grace. And oh, make me to be like that woman of Samaria, having the living water overflowing, bringing blessing to all around. You remember how she left her water pot at the well, and she went into the town and she said to her neighbors, come and see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we read that they went out and they said, now we believe, now we believe on him because of the testimony of the woman, because of her testimony. They saw the change of grace. They knew what kind of woman she was. They knew all about her past. But oh, what Christ had done, what the Lord had done for her soul. And many of the Samaritans believed because of the testimony of the woman who said, come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Do you remember how our Lord said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light. He that followeth me. I can remember being at sea and our ship being part of a large convoy, and we were approaching the coast, and their warning had come over the telegraph that there were enemy submarines lurking by. And a signal was given from the Commodore ship for all the ships to gather in line and to follow into the harbor. The harbor lights were dim, there was a blackout, but they all followed the Commodore, and they were brought safely into port. And that's what Christ is saying to us. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, Now we have renounced the hidden deeds of darkness. We have turned to the light, and we are following the light. Jesus said, I am the light. But my friend, if we belong to him, he says to you and to me, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Not praise you or me, no, perish the thought, but they will glorify our heavenly Father. We are to let our light shine. And now, my friend, as we come to the close of this communion season, let us take these words to heart. Let us rest on that promise of success. And let us take to heart the injunction of our Lord. Let your light so shine. Let men know who you are and whom you serve. Lazarus, you remember, Lazarus of Bethany was one of them that sat at the table with him. And you remember the result. Many of the Jews came to Bethany to comfort Mary and Martha concerning their brother. And we are told that many of them believed on Christ because of Lazarus, because of Lazarus, because of what he was, because of the change that Christ had wrought. Ah, my friend, then, let us seek through grace that we too will be his light in a dark world. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountain. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. May the Lord bless our meditation on his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we bless thee for all the promises of thy word. And all thy promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. O then, Lord, give us to take the word to heart. Give us to believe that what the Lord has spoken, he will assuredly perform. And grant then, Lord, that we may go on sowing the good seed, that we may be persevering in the way of holiness, that we may always remember that thou hast said that he that goes forth weeping as he sows the seed shall one day return rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, give us not to be discouraged by the hardness of the ground. Lord, enable us to remember that with God nothing is impossible. Help us to realize the power of amazing grace, and grant, Lord, that we may be obedient to thy commandment, and that by thy blessing we may be lights in a dark world, and that under thine hand we might be the means of bringing some poor wandering soul into the fold of the Good Shepherd. Now, Lord, make thy word to abide in us, that it may bring forth fruit in our life, and make us to abide in thee, and then we shall bring forth fruit. Lord, now enable us to sing thy praises from our heart. Part us with thy blessing, and pardon us our manifold shortcomings in thy service, and the praise shall be thine in Jesus evermore. Amen.
Amen.